Welcome to another edition of Your Spiritual Practice Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Reverend Dr. Cher Holton.
And I'm your other co-host, Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. And the practice that we have for you on this podcast, we've entitled Communing with Nature.
And people who know me may think that's an odd one because we know Cher hates to camp. But just because I don't like to camp doesn't mean I don't love nature and doing things in nature. I just want to have a good place to sleep at night.
Yes. And just so you guys know, whenever Cher and I are about if we should ever get to a hotel, for example, that has black and white instead of color TV, Cher would say that is camping out.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's get on with what we call this spiritual practice, how we would define it.
Okay. You know, our daily environments are filled with ringing phones and addictive iPhone apps, alarms of one type or another, the incessant chatter on TV and radios, sirens, horns, the sound of traffic, all of which hijack our attention and keep us preoccupied with the pulse of the city. And that's why we feel this particular spiritual practice, communing with nature, is so important.
Because let's just look at the contrast. Natural environments are characterized by gentleness of the landscape, the serenity which envelops us as we wander down a tree-hewn path, or maybe see the valley below from a mountaintop. The connectedness, that awesome connectedness we feel when we go barefoot in a brook, which we love to do whenever we see water. The first thing we want to do is dip our toes in it. And the reverence that penetrates our very being as we stand a few feet from a doe and her young.
Yeah, isn't that cool? And if you've ever been there, you know what we're talking about. And I guarantee you know what we're talking about if you've ever wandered down a creek in bare feet. It's a total body massage.
It is.
It's wonderful.
Or lying on the ground and looking up at the clouds and coming up with pictures and stories that you see in those clouds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, fun stuff. Taking a break from technological environments and stepping into the cocoon of nature is revitalizing and so refreshing. It's almost nirvana.
Yeah.
It's to be nurtured by Mother Earth's embrace. And eco-psychologists remind us that our deepest roots are in nature and that the factories and silicon environments we've invented are but subsystems of the biosphere.
Wow. And there's a quote by Helen Keller, and to me it's a particularly powerful quote simply because of who Helen Keller is. And we know that she was blind, she was deaf, and yet she made such contributions and did not see those as keeping her from experiencing the world as a whole. And she has a wonderful revelation about nature in this quote when she says, "What a joy it is to feel the soft, springy earth under my feet once more, to follow grassy roads that lead to ferny brooks where I can bathe my fingers in a cataract of rippling notes, or to clamber over a stone wall into green fields that tumble and roll and climb in riotous gladness." I love it. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, and you can see, of course, from her quote that she may not have been able to see with her physical eyes, but she was not blind. She may not have been able to hear with her biological ears, but there's no way in any way, shape, or form that she was deaf in any way.
Really?
She heard a lot. And we could have a lot to learn from people like Helen Keller. And also from Thich Nhat Hanh, the Tibetan monk, who assures us that we interbreathe with the rainforest and drink from the oceans. They're part of our own body. They're part of our biochemical makeup. Wherever we are, in a very real sense, no matter if we're right plug in the middle of a large city, we take the rainforest with us and we truly drink from the oceans.
That's beautiful. I love that. I love Thich Nhat Hanh. He's got some beautiful things that he shares. So what we're looking at here is why do we make that shift? Why, when we've got all this invigorating outdoor activity, do we choose to stay inside? Do we choose technology? And researchers actually have a term for it. They call it indoor videophilia. Indoor videophilia. And what that means is electronic addiction. And I think probably most of us can relate to it at some level, because it's shown already that the electronic addiction type activities have far-reaching consequences for our physical and our mental health. This whole addiction to electronics has been shown to contribute to obesity, lead to a lack of socialization, elevate blood pressure and hypertension, contribute to overall sense of lethargy, listlessness. And Bill and I just saw maybe 2 days ago on TV a report, a research report, that screen time with young children, remember that? They were talking about the amount of screen time that young children have, and it's leading to a huge increase in ADD among young children under 5.
Yes. And of course, there's also something to be said for the blue light, too, from these electronic devices.
That's right.
Blue light is good for you, and it's not so good for you. During the day, daylight, it's good for you because it increases your exercise, the scientists say. But at night, just before bedtime particularly, the blue light from the screens really is an anti-sleep mechanism, if you will. It affects us, and for people who have some sleep difficulty, one of the reasons just may very well be that you spent too much time on electronic devices shortly before bedtime.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what the research says.
It does say that.
And
it, sure.
It's compelling. There's enough out there now to tell us that that really is the case. And, you know, we are biochemical products, biochemical beings in our physical form. So on the biochemical level, spending time with nature, in fact, stimulates our feel-good neurotransmitters like dopamine and serotonin and endorphins. And that's the good news. It turns off the sympathetic nervous system, improves our moods and brain function. And when I say it, I mean being outdoors has all these therapeutic benefits for us. And if you've ever been outdoors watching some of the things that Cher just mentioned before and experiencing some of the feelings and choices that you make when you're outdoors, streams and breeze and mountaintops, etc. You know what we're talking about. Being outdoors also decreases pain. One of the findings in pain management says that when you enjoy outdoor experiences, that all of a sudden the aches and pains seem to go away for the most part. That's generally speaking, of course. Being outdoors heightens our feelings of well-being and connectedness, not only with the universe, but with one another. And it very definitely reduces any stress, the fight-freeze response that we feel when we're listening to the traffic in major cities.
For sure. It actually is an excellent spiritual practice, and that's why we've actually taken the concept of communing in nature and turned it into a whole spiritual practice that we're going to share what to do. It's kind of obvious, but we want to get specific and give you some examples, because it can truly renew us. It can optimize our mental, physical, and spiritual health. I remember when we travel, particularly when we've done overseas travel, there's a place you reach where your body just can't take anymore. And you just, I remember when we were in beautiful Paris, we went to one of the parks and just sat down on the ground in that park. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And we just laid down and napped and enjoyed the beauty of the outdoors, and it truly refreshed our entire being. And it's almost like that quote that says, sometimes you have to let your soul catch up to your body. And that's almost what happened. It was just beautiful.
Yes, yes. In the Experience of Nature, a Psychological Perspective book, researchers Rachel and Stephen Kaplan describe what they call the restorative experience. And that's just what Cher was talking about. It very definitely is restorative. It seems that the experience of being in nature is transformative in and of itself. It contributes to a person's emotional state being lifted, uplifted, and mental balance being restored. Communing in nature is truly an empowering spiritual experience, in very deep and meaningful ways.
And the Kaplans in their book remind us that the experience of nature, whether passively observed, which means you can just be still and watch, just look at the trees flowing in the breeze, or actively participating in, which is where you're hiking or boating or doing something active, either way, it's an important component of psychological well-being.
Yes, absolutely. And it's extremely interesting to note that research from Harriet Watt University, which used advanced technology to measure brain waves through mobile EEGs, shows what spiritual teachers and philosophers have intuitively known for years, for generations, for centuries, yeah, that the proverbial walk in the park may be one of the most beneficial things we can do for our mental, physical, emotional health, and spiritual well-being.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's our spiritual practice for this podcast. And here's how the spiritual practice works. This practice invites you to get in touch with nature, to see it, to feel it, to hear it. And we're talking about from a very intentional level. Don't just walk outside and walk back in and think you've done it. This is intentionally being present, fully present. And it can be something as simple as watching a sunset or a sunrise, observing cloud formations, or gazing at the moon or the stars, but it's doing it with full attention.
Yes, yes. So let the warm summer breeze caress your hair and skin. But not just the warm summer breeze when you think about it. Dress for it, of course, but a nice breeze in the fall and winter months can be very soothing too, in a way, because it lets you know that you are out in nature, properly dressed, of course, but don't forget the therapeutic event benefits of even a little cooler, colder weather too on your face. Let the a babbling brook nurture your senses. Hypnotize yourself with the soft patter of rain falling on leaves nearby. And if you're outdoors and near a tin roof or something, listen to the rain hitting the tin roof.
I love that sound. I love it.
Very, very meditative. Or notice the mystical silence of snowflakes as they fall. Reach out and catch some snowflakes as they fall. Become one with the falling, if you will. Become one with that exercise of nature in a very real sense, so that you feel more a part of the total experience. It can be very, very meditative for you.
Here are a couple of more ideas. You may think this is weird, but hug a tree.
Yes, we're both tree huggers.
And we love trees, and we will hug them and talk to them. Lie on the grass and just look at the sky and experience that.
Or sit on a rock or log outdoors. Walk barefooted in a stream, as we've mentioned before. Mm.
Listen to the chorus of birds. Have you ever listened, really listened? There are so many unique sounds that the individual birds make. It's really interesting to hear them and really listen.
Talk to squirrels, rabbits, deer, and even insects. They know you're paying attention to them.
Mm-hmm. They do. I know Bill has, when he's been working out in the yard, has talked to worms who came because they were so interested in what he was digging up. And he actually had a little discussion with them. It was kind of cool. So you can coo at a dove or mimic the cry of a crow.
Yeah, have you ever done that? Mm-hmm. Or feel the texture of leaves and ferns. We mentioned earlier about hugging a tree. Feel the texture of the bark on trees. And depending upon the tree that you hug, it could be smooth or it can be very textured, of course, but notice the difference.
Again, it's that intentionality of being mindful to it and fully present in the experience.
Yes.
You could listen to the hoot of an owl or also toads when they croak. You just hear that unique sound and become one with it.
And of course, feel your connectedness to the natural world overall, because we are part of that. We are not separate from that. The subatomic particles in us were here when the universe began with what they call the Big Bang. And there are parts of us that are billions of years old. There are parts of us that are a nanosecond year old. So just because we're wearing clothing and shoes We are not separate from nature at all. We're part of that, what is called Mother Gaia, Earth herself.
Yes. So we encourage you to relish that peace and tranquility that you will feel when you're outside, when you're in the midst of a glen or a meadow, or even just walking in a park. Mm. You can just feel that sense of peace that comes over you. And there's an alignment that you sense with something deep within your being that speaks to you at a soul level, telling you there's more to your relationship with nature than meets the eye. Yeah,
for sure. And it's more than meets the EYE, it's also more that meets the capital letter I.
Oh, for sure. That's
both
great.
Eyes. So build nature walks and outings as a spiritual practice into your overall spiritual practices. Make them regular spiritual exercises in your soul growth. And as you're probably going to notice very quickly, we shortened this podcast just a little bit because we invite you to take a moment, in the next couple of moments, if at all possible, to commune with nature.
And make that a meaningful experience in your spiritual growth and enrichment as you walk the spiritual path in nature on practical feet. We're so grateful you joined us today, and we just hope you enjoy nature until we meet again.